This is the State of Things live from the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh, and you can see a live stream of this show by clicking on a link at stateofthings.org. What we're going to be talking about is what happened tens of millions of years ago when humans weren't on this planet, dinosaurs, of course, roaming freely. And while they eventually went extinct, they live on in the imaginations of children, filmmakers, and paleontologists everywhere. The Tyrannosaurus Rex, in particular, that giant predator, haunts the dreams of anyone who has seen Jurassic Park. And now researchers may have discovered the king who reigned before T-Rex. Scientists at the Natural Sciences Museum in Raleigh are at the forefront of a new dinosaur discovery. Siach Micororum was one of the largest predators ever discovered in North America and discovered only recently. Lindsay Zano co-discovered Siach. She is the director of paleontology and geology research at the museum, and she joins me now. Lindsay, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Congratulations. This is very exciting. You've discovered a new dinosaur.
It's very exciting for us. This animal of this size hasn't been discovered in North America in 63 years, and so this is a really special event.
Tell us about Siach.
Siach was a colossal megapredator. It was a carnivore that hunted about 98 million years ago in the western part of North America, hunted long-necked dinosaurs and early duck-billed dinosaurs.
And how did you find it? Where you found Siach in Utah?
We discovered the bones of Siach in Utah. I was out walking the hills, just like paleontologists do. We have no high-tech way of finding dinosaurs. We simply get out there and put our eyes on the ground, and I spotted the bones of Siach already eroding out of the hillside.
It was sticking up out of the ground.
Yeah, in fact, almost every dinosaur that we find is already being destroyed at the surface of the ground when we find it. And it's a sort of a race to get the bones out of the ground before they're all destroyed.
How much of Siach was left when you got there?
Not a ton of Siach has been preserved. There's lots of bones from the spine and tail of this animal, the hip and the leg, but we don't right now have any bones of the skull. We don't have any bones of the forearm.
So how do you know that this is a dinosaur we don't know about already?
Well, for starters, Siach comes from a gap of about 60 million years when paleontologists for over half a century have not known who the major predator was roaming around in Western North America during this time. So we knew even before we found Siach that if we could stumble across the bones of one of these dinosaurs, it would be something new. But to demonstrate that, we actually have to go all around the world and compare the bones that we have to all the known bones of similar animals and see if we can distinguish it as something different.
And how do you do that? Is it just visual or do you do chemical tests? How do you know it's a different bone?
Well, we do visual tests. We do a lot of 3D animation and modeling now to help us compare bones from different animals. But basically, it's the same way we've done paleo for over a century, which is, you know, making those comparative looks at these bones.
And how do you know? And a meat eater, obviously, carnivore predator. How do you know?
Well, we do have some teeth that are referred to this animal, but even without that, just the skeleton alone is enough to tell us. All predatory dinosaurs walked on two legs. They held their body horizontal like birds. They have a very particular look to their skeleton.
And of course, we now know that dinosaurs were probably the predecessors of birds, right? Did Siach have the predecessor to feathers, do we think?
We think so. So there are some ancestral animals to this group that have been preserved with some evidence of feathers, and so we chose to continue that on in our reconstructions of Siach. And here I have to go ahead and correct you, Frank, because in the opening you said that dinosaurs are extinct. And it's important that we finally come to terms with this as, you know, we all grew up as kids thinking that dinosaurs were gone. They're sort of relics. They were failures. And we now know that one group of dinosaurs actually survived that mass extinction event that nearly took everybody out at the end of the Cretaceous. And those are, of course, birds. They're very, in a real sense, very living dinosaurs that are hanging around with us today.
And lizards are the offspring. I mean, they are the of dinosaurs. Are they in a lineage, the lizards that we see today, or was there a complete break?
Yeah, no, lizards are a completely separate group of reptiles. So the things that are most closely related to dinosaurs are actually crocodiles, and then birds themselves are the only living member of the dinosaur group.
And we know what he ate. This also was maybe the animal that may have kept T-Rex in check. Is that right?
It's a fascinating story. In the rocks that we find the bones of sea otch, we find the teeth of tiny tyrannosaurs. And by tiny, I mean the size of a large dog, maybe a Great Dane. These animals were basically like jackals living in an environment with lions. They're kind of just kept in check by animals like sea otch, kind of roaming around in the shadows. And it wasn't until sea otch and other dinosaurs like sea otch went extinct in North America that those little tyrannosaurs were able to evolve into great size and become the great predators that we know and love.
So tell us about the importance of this discovery. What do we know about the evolution of dinosaurs from this discovery?
Well, it's actually related to what we were just talking about in that we used to think that certain groups of animals outcompeted other groups of animals and drove them to extinction. This happened at the beginning of dinosaurs when crocodiles reigned. It happened after that extinction event when mammals came to power. We used to think of those animals as having some kind of competitive edge. What we're learning is that over and over again in time, it takes the extinction of the group that's occupying that niche in the ecosystem that provides the opportunity for something else to sort of fill that role. And that's a pattern we see again and again through time. And I'm fairly certain, given our modern biodiversity crisis, we're losing all our top predators right now, we're going to see something similar.
What do you think did in sea otch?
Well, we're not really sure. There was some serious climate change at the time. The planet was becoming hotter. Sea level was rising. Sounds familiar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the major food source for these animals actually went extinct at that time, too. We don't know if climate drove both of those groups to extinction or if, because the prey became extinct, sea otch would have become extinct also.
When you say that, I mean, we think of these predators as being sort of omnivorous, I mean, carnivorous, but they eat any old meat, don't they? Or are they particular?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we don't want to stretch the science too far. What we can do is we can look at the bones of animals and we can look for bite marks that give us conclusive evidence about what sea otch was eating. We haven't gotten that far in this project yet. This is the first big announcement that we've made. We do have a lot of other dinosaurs and a lot of other science that's going to be coming out. We hope to announce a couple new dinosaurs in the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh, this is great. So what do you do in the meantime? What kind of research do you do on the bones that you have?
Well, we'll keep looking at that question. We have bite marks on these bones. We want to know what kinds of animals scavenge sea otch. And we're actively researching to discover more about the ecosystem. So every summer, the museum and North Carolina State sends a team out, an expedition to go back to these areas and continue to find new dinosaurs and excavate the ones that we know about.
Is there anything you can tell? I mean, we know sometimes when you excavate a site, for instance, if it's an archaeological dig, we can tell by the seeds that were left in the pots, a little bit about the rainfall events and all of that in that period. It sounds to me like a lot of that ecological evidence might have been lost if these bones were right on the surface. Is there much you can tell about the environment at the time this animal lived?
Yeah, there actually is a lot we can tell. We can do studies of the rocks to determine how wet the environment was, what kinds of plants were there. We have plant fossils from here, and we also have a whole variety of what we call microfossils. And these are tiny fossils that help us understand all the other animals that lived in the same ecosystem. So we have fossils of frogs and amphibians and lizards and early mammals and a variety of turtles, some giant turtles with shells over 2 feet long, and a whole bunch of different crocodiles. So we're able to sort of flesh out that whole ecosystem, really get a good handle on it.
You said there are more discoveries yet to come. Do you have a sense of what you're going to find, or is this all going to be a surprise to you?
Well, we have a general sense, but sea otch was a real surprise to us. It belongs to a group of dinosaurs called Neovenatorids, and they've never been discovered on the North American continent before. So we knew we'd find something new, but we weren't expecting to find something that new.
Now, I have to ask you about the name. Sea otch, not bad, but Meekarorum, I mean, meek and predator. That's my problem.
I know. It's no T-Rex of a name, is it? But, you know, the Meeker family actually sponsored some of the research early on, and we really like to pay special homage to those people that make the science happen.
And can you tell if there is a genealogy? Did these things simply fall off the face of the earth and go extinct, or was there some version of them that sort of carried on?
Well, these animals are actually known from almost every continent. So this is the story here in North America, that they went extinct and were replaced by tyrannosaurs. It's also probably the same story in Asia. But in South America and Africa and Australia, these animals were the top dog in their ecosystem well into the time when T-Rex ruled. In fact, they got even bigger than T-Rex down in South America. So they were still the top dog on the block down there.
So they were contemporary then at some point. Well, you said they were here. There was just just a tinier T-Rex that they had to deal with in North America.
Correct.
Somehow T-Rex got bigger, and it drove in other parts of the world, it drove sea otch to compete and get larger. You're suggesting, perhaps.
Well, we're suggesting that sea otch, just by virtue of its large size, kept Tyrannosaurus from getting big here. And it wasn't until they really had gone extinct in North America that Tyrannosaurus were able to occupy that niche. So maybe if sea otch hadn't ever gone extinct, we never would have seen the evolution of T-Rex.
Oh, man, the movie industry would be forever bereft. Congratulations again, Lindsay. So great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Lindsay Zano, the Director of Paleontology and Geology Research at this museum. And just ahead, we're going to talk to a roundtable about the intersection of science and policy. You can watch this program if you want on the Internet. We are live streaming. And if you go to our website, stateofthings.org, you can see a live stream of our program live from the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.
A tisket, a tasket.